Yep, cool.
Yeah, let's just want to check it out. So, yeah, go back to the start. You started making wine in at home, right?
Yeah, started home wine making in 83. 83 and 84 with some friends. We did some Cabernet. And
is that here in Geyserville?
Well, it was I was living up on top of Sweetwater Springs, which is right where Hop Kiln in Rokeoli is. There's a road that goes up
right
in Sweetwater Springs. Had a house right on the top. And the gentleman on the road had a full winemaking equipment. So got into doing the homemade wines. We weren't very good at it. The Cabernets, realized it was going to be 4 or 5 years before I could even swallow it. So we decided to start in on Pinot and made like 10 gallons, 5 gallons in 85 of some second crop. Grapes put out a second crop 30 mm-hmm. days after the first crop. And a friend was living on a ranch. The guy says, oh, sure, go out and pick some. So we did. And then in 86, we bought some grapes from him. And I had about, I don't know, 8 or 10 gallons left over of the two vintages that didn't have any oak. So I threw them together. And, I don't know, well, both the 85 and 86 regular made really good wine. We could all start drinking right away.
Mm-hmm.
We decided that 30 cases of wine wasn't going to be enough for everybody. We had to start making like 200 cases. So we started really getting into it. The wines came out exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
I did an 88 Rokeoli second crop off of, I helped with the harvest in 88 and 89. I got second crop off the three corner. Half a ton for payment, which mm-hmm. we made an exquisite wine. 88 was a really good year.
Mm-hmm.
So in 89 I helped also, got some second crop. And from the quality of the grapes I made, or the wine I made from those, he offered me a job. So I started working there January of 1990, and I've been working there ever since. I'm the only person that works there outside of the owner. So I do all the work on the wines.
You mean outside of Tom?
Outside of Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he actually doesn't do that much actual physical work on the wines as mm-hmm. much. So, yeah, I still only work 1,200 hours a month, a year there. So he offered me this ability to make 300 cases of wine a year to help back up, you know, so I could
right.
live in Sonoma County.
Right.
And started out with 115 cases in 1992, and I've worked it up to about 350 cases of the 2009. And I market it basically in the Bay Area and LA,
mm-hmm.
And on a mailing list.
And the grapes come from?
100% Rokeoli fruit. Up until this point, I made a little cheat sheet. We just did a 10-year vertical in Half Moon Bay a couple weeks ago. So I had a little cheat sheet of, had to go back, I can't remember what you did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But vineyard selection, cost, what the alcohol's, pH is, and I printed it out for you.
Oh,
so
great.
When you do your thing, you can look at it
great.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot where it's going with it. Oh, the vineyard selections. Up until 2004, my wines had a considerable, if not up to 50% second crop in it. Second crop from the big vineyards and second crop from the river block. And the other half of the wine was first crop from the river block. I got the first harvest,
mm-hmm.
and 92 was the first major harvest off of it. Managed to get in on it and on the river block.
Mm-hmm.
Which was his estate wines from 92 on. As it developed into a single vineyard wines, the quality, you know, of my wine kept getting a little bit better. In 2004, he didn't want to make any more second crop commercially because he was fly fishing. And that doesn't happen until October, the middle of October. So he offered me this other vineyard that is a West Block clone that was planted at the same time as River Block, called the Flad Vineyard. And Flad property is between Winston-Salem and Rocchioli on the west side of West Side Road. You know where Winston-Salem mm-hmm. old winery is? Mm-hmm. If you go north from there, it kind of goes up the hill, and there's another house. There's a five-acre parcel that was planted to the West Block. It was Joe's brother that owned it and sold it to build a restaurant to the Flads. So they've owned it ever since. Joe's farmed it, planted it ever since.
We F-L-A-G?
F-L-A-D.
D.
Flad. And so he offered me, you know, I was getting 5 or 6 barrels of that. And it was of quality of as good as anything on the Little Hill. I mean, I was kept telling him, you need to single vineyard this. But he didn't, it wasn't, you know, a true estate vineyard and stuff like that, so he didn't want to get into it. So he offered it to me, and I jumped on it, and that's when the wines really started kicking in. Mm-hmm. Now, 02 was my first 96 three puffs in the Connoisseur's Guide. Mm-hmm. That was half River Block and half West Block second crop. And the second crop off vineyards is exquisite. I mean, it's just, if you have a West Block vineyard, which is our best one, the second crop is as good, better than most anybody's first crop. So that turned out really well. 02 was a killer year. Mm-hmm. So that was my first 96 points. I think the 04s, when I got the Flad, got 93 points in Connoisseur's Guide. I think it's as good as the 02, but, you know, everybody at the time and... Mm-hmm. I don't know. You won't have any. I don't have any of the O2 to give you for the tasting, right. So if you don't have it. Right. But then in 07, I got another 3 points. I mean, 3 puffs, 96. Mm-hmm. And I'm expecting this to do the same. This one, actually, I think, you know, Pinot, the thing with Pinot is it's constantly moving and rotating and shifting. Good to bad,
yeah,
in between. Well, that's where people say it's so hard to make. Well, you know, winemakers were really into focusing on their wines, and they want to see what it is all the time, and, well, it drives you nuts. Mm-hmm. When I first started working there in the early 90s, we tasted some stuff that was just the best. We were just like, wow. Went back about 3 weeks later and tasted the barrel again. It was crap. So he's panicking. He calls a friend up, another winemaker guy comes over. We taste it, and it's somewhere between the two. And the guy goes, oh, well, you know, there's nothing biologically wrong with it. He goes, it's just Pinot. He goes, if it tastes bad 3 times in a row, he goes, call me back. If it tastes good 3 times in a row, bottle it. Which is a really good, for Pinot Noir, an allegory of how to do it. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Another thing, up until 2001, I had to bottle in 9 or 10 months because my barrels, I didn't have the money nor the storage facility to age barrels, hold barrels over for the next harvest. So I'd have to bottle in August to get ready for harvest. And I found holding that wine until the following December, the extra 4 months, there's a lot of stuff goes on biologically at the end of summer. I mean, the wines, the just the barometric pressures, everything comes alive in the summer. You know, all winter long, things close up, they get cold, tight. I found the wines tended to be a lot more stable mm-hmm. once you held them for 15 months.
Mm-hmm.
So starting in 2001, they were 15 months versus 9. And you could, if you went back in those days, you could, a few years ago I did a 96 through 2006 tasting,
uh-huh.
and boy, you could tell right around 2000 and going up, the big difference.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, well, that's about it. I'm still working there.
Yeah. Is West Block? Is this still have the original plantings, or has it been?
The West Block is down to. Shoot, probably a third of its size of the original plantings. And it's been replanted back to itself.
But it's still a third smaller?
Oh, it's two-thirds smaller. I mean, it's only one-third the size of what it used to be. East block's completely gone. It's been replanted back to the west block. So we're going to have... We're hoping to duplicate some, so it'll come back to a larger quantity of west block. We harvested the last 2 years. Last year's wine was starting to really show. West block takes about 5 or 6 years, though. It's just kind of... It's good. I mean, it's better than average. Mm-hmm. But after about 5 or 6 years, all of a sudden, it just goes up. Mm-hmm. And just, I mean, no matter, Little Hill's a West Block clone, River Block's a West Block clone. We planted it in several other places across the ranch. And it's for the first 5 or 6 years, it's a good addition to the estate wines. But after that, it really starts talking to it about itself, so... Mm-hmm. We're hoping we can duplicate it. It was a unique planting. But there was a lot of diseases and problems and stuff that I think that contributed to the quality. They're still out there, so, you know, it'll probably take a few years for it to really kick in again. But.
Yeah, when I was there a couple years ago and I spent some time with Joe, he was talking about, you know, the disease problem with the vines and closely situated to the river, felt that had was a factor.
Yeah, I don't know what makes that place so special, but you know, we grew French Colombard there at one point for years, and it was the best French Colombard in Sonoma County. Mm-hmm. Same with this. I mean, almost everything you grow there is exceptional. Mm-hmm. Tom's thought on it is perhaps being situated below Sweetwater Canyon. Sweetwater Springs Canyon, the cold air comes down right off of that over the ranch in such a way that, you know, and it doesn't really open funnily, so it comes pretty much over the ranch, because if you go on either side of them, they grow good grapes, but there's nothing like on his ranch.
Yeah.
You know, and he researched his clones, he put in some nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the thing is, with the new rootstocks, AXR was a great rootstock. It was a beautiful rootstock. It set great crops. It held good quality. I mean, it was everything you wanted in a rootstock. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. it finally failed.
Yeah.
So now there's so many different kinds of rootstocks out there. You're trying to match up again. That's going to take, I think, a little bit longer for things to settle on, the dust to settle on it, to find out where, what goes with matches with what, in what circumstances. But it's coming around. I mean, an experiment with Pinot takes 10 years. From the time you plant it to the time you really get the handle on it, it's 10 years.
Yeah.
So it has been fun. I've been there 23 years to be able to go back, and he's got wines going back to like 92 that we've been drinking, because we had to tear out the library.
Yeah.
So we had a library sale.
Is he still working?
Tom?
Joe. Yeah.
Oh, Joe? He still runs the farm part. Yeah. 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 Everybody goes through Joe for the farm. Well, I think, you know, if he stopped, he'd probably be dead shortly.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
That's his life, yeah.
All right. So this one, for the first time, I have about 40% of Dijon clones in it. Because in 2009, the harvest was such that we thought 2008 was a pretty big harvest. And we were scrambling for tank space. I mean, it got warm halfway through it, and so things were starting to ripen. And we were trying to be little purists, like half a tank here and two-thirds of a tank there. So we decided, well, you know, something comes in, they just got to go together. It's unless it's like West Block or something like that. Mm-hmm. So the day that the flood came in, we had put in down by the river. The river block plantings are down here. It goes West Block, River Block, all the way down on the strip. This is our property on the south edge. Then across here, he put in, I think, 5 or 10 acres of three Pomard 115 and 777. So this 115 comes in, and God, it looks just like West Block. These little tiny clusters and these little tiny berries. And the two together made one perfect tank. And he didn't want to give me those berries at all. But that's it.
He didn't what?
He didn't want to give me them because they were too, they were looking really good. Yeah. They were special.
Yeah.
But we didn't know when we weren't going to have anything coming in for a few days, so they pretty much had to go in. And it's one of the few times since 94, like I said, with Pinot that it varies so much. This is one in the barrel almost from the get-go. Every time you smell, put your nose in the barrel, you just went, ooh. I mean, all the way along. And so that's why, in my gut, I think it's just a, probably a little bit better than some of the 97s and stuff. I've had the 90s, I mean the 07 and 09 together, side by side. And if you weren't paying attention, you can get the glasses mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both pretty pretty similar.
Yeah.
So.
When did you bottle this?
December. So it's just now 6 months. I think December 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. So it's now, you know, 6 months in the bottle. It's starting to come around.
Yeah. That's nice.
When you do that vertical, you'll find these wines hold up. They were holding up. 2002 was fine. I mean, it had color. I mean, the whole shot. The 2000 was showing a little age, but not bad.
Mm-hmm.
So the wines, I don't drink this wine until it's about 5 years old. So if you can do that, it really does reward you.
Yeah.
It just gets the suppleness. Keeps all the flavors you've got right here and just gets real supple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's almost all the Rocchioli wines are like that.
Yeah. Yeah, we tend to drink the wines too soon.
Well,
consumers do that for sure.
And especially if you're spending in the price range these wines are at. I mean, you know, I would love to have the money if somebody, if I could win the lottery for a couple years, I could just, you know, start putting the stuff away and start selling two or three vintages down the road. And it would make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But I can. I'm out here hawking it after, and it's been in the bottle for 2 months. So.
You gotta get paid.
It's not well.
Yeah, yeah.
I am on a finite system, you know. I make the same amount every year, and my costs go up and whatever. So. But it's got beautiful color.
It's the aromatics are really great.
Yeah. A Rocchioli fruit's special. I mean,
shirt still going.
We're pretty much done with that. Let me check it off.
You're the boss.